This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in the book of Leviticus. We have made it to the book of Leviticus. We're 30% of our way through what is called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. They are written by Moses. They are sequential. They really tell not only the story of Israel, but they explain God's law, and that's really how it's spread out, is God's law. And we'd like to say that even though we've only, in the last 2.5 years, we've only covered 3 books of the Bible, that's Psalms, Genesis, and Exodus, other than 2 of the major prophets, those are the 3 biggest books in the Bible, and actually constitute, as far as chapter-wise, 21% of Scripture. In 2.5 years, we have managed to cover 21% of Scripture, and I'm excited to move on, and perhaps even over the next several years, 10 or 12 years, maybe even make it all the way through. But that being said, we're in Leviticus, and a lot of people hate Leviticus, and I myself, I'm going to be honest with you, when I was a young pastor, I didn't like the book of Leviticus either. When you're reading through the Bible, you oftentimes bog down in the book of Leviticus, and the reason you bog down in the book of Leviticus is, first of all, you have the understanding that this is a picture of Christ. This is giving us understandings of who Jesus is and His sacrifice and what His sacrifice meant. It is giving us, in fact, clear pointers. The book of Leviticus is pointing us straight to Jesus, but the book of Leviticus is also pointing us to ourselves. And these sacrifices or these offerings that are being made to God, they reveal aspects of how God provided for us the atonement for our sins. And it also gives you insight into how your sin controls you, how your sin operates in your head, in your mind. And without this understanding, you just miss out. And you just see sin is just a singular thing. And sin is so pervasive in our lives. And God's work of redeeming us from it is so pervasive in our lives, because remember, God's atonement is greater than our sin. And so understanding how all this plays out in your life and in your head, understanding that is really important. If you don't really understand the sacrifices, oftentimes I would say you really don't understand how sin is affecting you. You really don't understand how God's grace is affecting you. And therefore, it's really hard to reckon in it. It's hard to reckon in faith. And remember, faith requires me to hear God, believing, and act upon it. If I don't really know, I haven't heard. And so I can't believe what I haven't heard, and I can't act upon what I haven't heard. And so then I really don't know. Leviticus, even though there's very little research out there as far as commentary, and when I say very little, I'm saying in comparison to other books of the Bible, it is one of those books that's just not really talked about. But we're going to go through it. And it's one of those books that kind of sets itself up to move through fairly quickly, because it speaks of individual sacrifices. And in fact, the first 7 chapters is all about the sacrifices. And well, that tells us a lot. It tells us that God's got a lot going on and a lot of offerings that He wants us to understand and how we interact with Him. So it says, "Now the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock of the herd and the flock." Now, this offering is going to be the burnt sacrifice. In fact, that's what it says in verse 3. His offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd. So God says, if you're going to make a sacrifice, you need to make it at the tabernacle. You need to bring it. When you build it, you need to build it to the tabernacle. And you go, what does that matter? Oftentimes we try to make offerings and sacrifices to God that are not holy. They're not in deep in our heart. They're really almost a throwaway. They're one of those things where we say, I'm giving this to you, God. I don't want it really to be an investment of anything of myself. I'm going to make an investment of somebody else's, okay? And those type things, in fact, two major celebrities as far as the Hawaii incident issues, as far as trying to raise money, are in trouble right now because they offered somebody else a sacrifice from another location. They offered somebody else's gift and said that they would raise gifts from other people rather than giving from their own self. And in social media, they'll get no trouble for it. Why? Because it's not coming from you, and it's not personal, and it's not in your own heart. It's something that you're trying to get other people to do. And oftentimes, we try to do that with God. We try to say, pastor's going to do that, or my Sunday school teacher, my small group leader, they do this, and then I help them do it. That's not how we live with God, and that's not how we interact with God. And at the very start, yet God says, I want you to speak to the children of Israel, and when you bring this offering, you need to bring this offering from the tabernacle to the tabernacle. Why? Because remember, that's a picture of us. It's a picture from inside of us. It's a picture of how we approach God. And out of the study of the end of the book of Exodus, we talked about that. And so when you're dealing with the Levitical offerings, when you're dealing with the Levitical sacrifices here, you need to understand that they're personal. And these are your personal dealings with God about what he's done on your behalf for sin and how you deal with your own sin out of faith in him. So in verse 3 it says, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice. Now, this is the first type of offering that is being bought. And burnt sacrifices, as far as pictures of Jesus, this is the primary picture of Jesus. It is the offering that it is most symbolic of the offering that Jesus gave on the cross. It is the most powerful of the offerings. It's the most personal of the offerings, and it's the most interactive of the offerings that a Jewish person could make. They bring an offering, and I want you to notice, it's not super particular about what you bring, because as we go through this chapter over the next couple of days, you're going to see that you can bring an offering of the herd, you can bring an offering of the flock, you can even bring a bird sacrifice. And you go, what is that? Because God is a God who understands that people come from different places, and he made sure that as far as this offering is concerned, everybody could afford to bring a burnt offering sacrifice. Now, we're going to throw it with the herd, but we're going to make those understandings with the other two sacrifices. Also, we're going to time off because each one of them is almost exactly the same except for the birds. It says, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Now, this is a picture of, it's a picture of Jesus. He's a male. Jesus was a man, and he was without blemish, meaning he was without sin. He had no outward appearances of imperfection. He had no inward appearances of imperfection. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is it's not tied to any festival. It's not tied to a feast. It's not tied to an event. It is a personal offering that's brought individually by an individual to the tabernacle, and later would be back to the temple, which are both pictures of us. It's a personal sacrifice that's brought totally by us. Now, I like that because why? We have a personal relationship with God. I love the picture here because it's the offering that's most associated with Jesus, and it's the offering that's most personal to us. We bring it, and it is also the offering that's most associated, easily, most, the, it's the bestly, easiestly associated offering that we make personally when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Now you say, Pastor, those words are not real words. That's right. It's the mostest, greatest, bestest sacrifice that we make. It is. It's the sacrifice that pictures what we do with God. We give of ourselves to God. And so notice, you bring it at any time. There's not a stipulation as to when you can bring the sacrifice as far as the time of year. It's bent personally by the individual. And so it's powerful in that it's you and God. This is really one of those sacrifices that's just you and God. He says, then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering. And what that is a picture of is you are taking your sin and placing it on the sacrifice. And that's the symbolism of taking your hand and placing it on his head. Now, that's important for many reasons, but the most important part of this sacrifice is, even though God placed on Jesus on the cross the sin of the whole world, this is our personal giving of ourselves and offering our sin as a sacrifice, meaning we're going to lay aside our sin and walk in the light as he is in the light. We're going to lay that sin aside, and we're personally placing our sin on the sacrifice, which we've already said is the most complete picture of Jesus of the sacrifices. And so we say, didn't God already do that? Sure he did. But in order for me to really walk in my salvation, walk out my salvation, meaning go through the process of sanctification, salvation, for me to do it completely, I've got to place my sin on him. I've got to give him as an offering, literally give him my sinfulness so that I might rise up and walk as Jesus did, so I might walk in the kingdom power. And let's know we do that. When you struggle with God, you struggle with the getting up of sin. That's the first thing you struggle with. Many people struggle now in our church with figuring out what their gifts are, figuring out what their purpose is to serve God, to be a part of the kingdom work. Those are all great, and those are all things that we want to really invest our lives in doing. But the first thing any believer's got to do is wrestle with their own sin, wrestle with their own selfishness, wrestle with their own ungodliness. And when they're doing that, when we're wrestling with those things, when we're struggling against those things, this sacrifice is a picture of it, and it's one of those sacrifices where you lay it on this animal, and I want you to see what happens to the sacrifice. It says, we shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. Notice, Christ makes atonement for us, but he is a picture of the sacrifice. But really, and Jesus' sacrifice paid for the sins of the world. That's what 1 John tells us. But we ourselves bring our sin to God and lay it at his feet also. Why? Because that's how you wrestle with it. You allow God to have full control of your life, and you allow him to remove the sin that so easily entangles you. He says, it's got to be accepted on his behalf. Now, notice, he didn't have to do anything right outside. He had to be good on the inside. Nothing had to happen prior to this. All he had to do was bring it. Just bring yourself as a sacrifice. Bring that sin to God. You didn't have to make right with God. You didn't have to fix anything beforehand. All you have to do is bring yourself humbly before him and offer the sacrifice to him. Verse 5, it says, he shall kill the bird before the Lord. This is the only sacrifice where the one who brings it actually does the killing. It's the only sacrifice where the one who brings it actually does the killing. The priest did the rest. All the other sacrifices, all the other offerings, the priests are going to do it. But in this sacrifice, you've got to do it. You got to put to death your own sin. You go, I'm just too weak to do that. No, we're not. No, you're not. Once you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you're not too weak to do this. You can put to death your sin and choose the life that God has for you. That's what the whole process of salvation is about. That's why God has given us the power to overcome sin and death. That's why he's given us eternal life, because we have the power to overcome our sin. We have the power to put to death the things that control us, the things that destroy us. And you have the power to lay down your sin and take up the life that God has given you. And this sacrifice, the first sacrifice in Leviticus, tells you that. You can do it. And you can't do it on your own. You can't do it outside the finished work of Jesus Christ, but you can do it. And you need to learn to function and operate in it. He says, he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around the altar that it is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting, meaning the blood offering sacrifice right there, that where the altar was, right there at the door. And notice, they take the blood and they sprinkle it around the altar. And it's a picture of the blood of Jesus. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus being surrounding us. It's a totality of God's atonement for us. It's a completeness. We often talk about a ring being round and having no end. The atonement of God has no end. It fixes, it cleanses, it makes us whole and complete with no beginning and no end. It is a complete work of God in our lives. And then it says, he shall skin the burnt offering and cut the, and it says it, but it means the offering into pieces. So what do? They took the skin off. By the way, all the other sacrifices are going to be a sacrifice where both the giver and the priest are going to be able to eat some of the sacrifice. They're going to be able to enjoy it, consume these sacrifices. This is the only sacrifice where it's not going to happen. It's the sacrifice where they give it all. And not only that, they give of the skin. And remember, flesh is a picture of the covering of sin. And our flesh doesn't cover sin very well. And that's not sacrifice. What sacrifice is the sinfulness of our heart. It is a heart sacrifice. It says, the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall be put a fire on the altar and lay the wood in the river and the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat and oil and the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, I want to deal with the sweet aroma to the Lord. You say you missed two verses there. Not really, because tomorrow we're going to deal with the other two types of sacrifices, and they're exactly the same. And I want to get into some detail about how this offering is made and how the burnt offering happens. But the main thing I want you to understand is that this sacrifice is a sweet aroma before the Lord. Taking on the power and the role of Jesus. Really, that's what we're doing. We're becoming the light as he is the light. We're walking in his way as he has already shown us that way. When we choose to lay down our sin and to take up the eternal life that God has provided for us, when we choose to do that, that is a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is like seeing one of your children grow up and realize that they have become an adult. It is a powerful It's a powerful thing for God to see his children not only be saved from their sin, but become masters of his life that he's given us and walking in that power. It's powerful to see someone actually figure it out and walk in it. And that is the desire of God, that we be mature, not lacking anything, but in everything, choosing him, walking with him. And this sacrifice, this power that God has given us, not only to join Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, but the ability to walk in it and to, as Jesus said, the miracles I do, you shall do. The power I have, you shall have, and even greater than these. Why? Because we can walk as he did. And the first sacrifice is about that. It's about you learning how to walk as he did and laying aside the sins of our lives. I pray that you'll learn how to do that. You'll walk in it.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.